Thank you, and thanks for being here today. I'm Tamar Goldenberg, and I'm going to be presenting qualitative findings from this study on preferences for a mobile HIV prevention app for men who have sex with men, or MSM. And this study was funded by the MAC-AIDS Fund, and it's being done in collaboration between Emory University and University of Washington. And I have no relationship to this. So we know that, depending on individual risks, that sexually active MSM should be getting tested for HIV about 3 to 4 times per year. However, most men are not testing that frequently, with less than 20% meeting this recommendation. MHealth is the use of mobile phones for medical or public health-supported interventions, and it may be a useful mechanism for HIV prevention and increased testing. There are a lot of HIV prevention apps that currently exist, but unfortunately, there are not a lot of people actually downloading and using these apps. So in order to address this, it has been suggested that researchers and developers really conduct research prior to building apps in order to have a better understanding of the preferences of their target population. So that's exactly what we did. Our research questions addressed what are MSM's preferences for building a smartphone HIV prevention app? How can we motivate MSM to use this app? How can we incorporate this app into HIV testing and counseling? And then how can we collaborate with key stakeholders in order to build and disseminate the app? So the study took place in Atlanta, Georgia, Seattle, Washington, and then online with rural MSM. And we had three major groups of participants. So we had men who identify as gay or bisexual, who own smartphones, and who live in Atlanta, Seattle, or a U.S. rural region. And we defined rural based on zip code with a population density of less than 1,000 people per square mile. And then we also recruited HIV testing counselors, and these were counselors who provide services to MSM in Atlanta and Seattle. And then we had key informants who worked at community-based organizations and government organizations at local, state, and federal levels. So this was a three-phase qualitative study. In the first phase, we conducted focus group discussions with MSM in Atlanta and Seattle. We also did one online focus group discussion with rural MSM, and this was done as a chat room-based format through Adobe Connect. We also did two in-person focus group discussions with HIV testing counselors, and then 14 key informant interviews, which were done by phone. In the second phase of the study, we did a preliminary data analysis of that first phase of data, and we presented these findings to KeyMind, who we were contracting with in order to develop the app. And then KeyMind took that information, and they built a beta version of the app. So this was done in an online format, but it was really meant to simulate how it would look and feel and function in on a mobile phone. So then we took that beta version of the app, and we conducted theater testing through additional focus group discussions. And we did this with MSM and with HIV testing counselors. And we had some MSM from the first round of focus groups return for theater testing, but we also recruited new MSM. So then, in the first round of focus groups, we used these wireframe images, and these are just a few examples. And they were really meant to address this idea of what would people want to see in an app in terms of functionality. So the images really just gave sort of a basic outline of what we were thinking. And then in phase three, with the theater testing, it was much more interactive, but these are just some still images of the beta test version of the app. And this was really meant to get more of a sense of how do participants react to this. So would they be willing to use it? What pieces did participants like or not like? And how could the app be improved to help MSM download this and use it regularly? So then after all of the focus group discussions were completed, we worked with KeyMind to create a functional requirements document. And this really outlined in great detail all of the functions and features that we wanted the app to include. And by the end of it, both the researchers and the developers had a good sense of what this app should look like, and any development company would be able to look at this document and really be able to build an app based off of that. So in addition to the functional requirements document, we also did a qualitative data analysis, specifically focusing on just the 15 focus group discussions with MSN. So this is really going to just answer those first two research questions. So we audio recorded all of the focus group discussions and transcribed them verbatim, and then did a thematic analysis using MaxQDA. And this was a two-part analysis. So first we analyzed data from phase one and then data from phase three. And we were really trying to see also if there were any geographical differences. So what kind of differentiation and preferences did we find between participants if they were in Atlanta, Seattle, or a U.S. rural region. And we conducted this among 70 MSM. They were mostly gay identified, and about one-third of them were non-white. Most of the black MSM were recruited from Atlanta, which is representative of the larger demographics from where we recruited MSM. So we found that there were a few major things that really influenced a participant's willingness to use this app. So the first was really what functions does this include? And one of the major functions that MSM talked about was education. They felt that this was really essential to the app. And they felt that this was especially important for people who might be deciding whether or not they should get tested or which type of test is best for them. But they also really wanted this information to go beyond just simply HIV testing. They wanted it to also include linkage to care, STI testing and treatment, safer sex tips, information about PrEP, information about NPEP, and information about current HIV research. But in addition to that, participants expressed not just wanting to be given information, they wanted to be able to interact with the app. So they talked a lot about interactive engagement and being able to input data into the app. And this they saw as a huge motivator for using it. One participant said that it could keep people coming back. But to go even further, participants didn't want to just put in information. They wanted it to have a purpose. They wanted to get feedback based on that information. So some examples of that included getting information about personal behaviors or getting information about what's going on in their communities. So, for example, if a guy puts in information into the phone about how often they're having sex, they were interested in knowing how that compared to other men in their community. Social networking was also seen as a really important function for HIV testing. A lot of people talked about posting information about HIV testing on Facebook and Twitter, and they said that this could really encourage increased testing, and it could also reduce stigma. So one participant in Atlanta said, "It might be nice to have the option of putting out a message on Twitter or Facebook so you can say, I just got tested, I know my status." A lot of the voting blood drives, they give you a little sticker that says, "I just did something," and you feel good about it because you were responsible, did something you were supposed to do. And I think there's usually not a lot of that around HIV because of the stigma around HIV or around men who have sex with men. When in reality, there's a lot of people out there getting HIV tests all the time, and it could be a social message to put out there. So in addition to functionality, men talked a lot about the tone of the app and felt that that was really important. But there was a lot of disagreement about which tone would be best. So some men, especially those in Seattle, discussed preferring a sexier app with sexier language and functionality. So one participant said, "What is it that would make it fun to use, or what would be a way to deliver the information in a way that people would actually want to digest it? I'm thinking of a very extreme idea, but what if instead of a clinician delivering the information, you actually have a video of two hot guys having sex, and one guy is talking to the camera, and he's showing someone how to put on a condom properly, and it's not some clinical BS, it's a hot guy about to have sex, putting on a condom the right way." participants at the same time in all locations, and especially those in Atlanta and in rural locations, talked about the importance of having a more authoritative or professional tone. And they felt that this would add to the credibility of the app. So one rural participant said, "We don't want something cute, we want something authoritative, something that promotes security and trust." And then a participant in Atlanta really described this tension when he said, "I think there is a fine line between keeping it real and being accessible and trivializing." And so this disagreement really came up, especially when we were discussing the function of sex diaries, which we included in the beta version of the app. And some participants said that they loved this function and that we should focus our entire app around it. We should call it My Little Black Book. But then other participants really disliked it, especially those in Atlanta. And some participants went as far as saying that if this function were included in the app, that they would delete it from their phone. So, not surprisingly, privacy also came up as a big issue. And this was especially salient in our first round of focus groups. So participants in that round really talked a lot about the importance of discretion. So one participant said, "I could imagine if someone gets an HIV-positive result, they're not going to want that to be something that, oh, my little sister picks up my phone and sees this. So I would just be very thoughtful about how you designed those features. I think that would be critical to make sure that's done in a way that minimizes the risk of any type of exposure that people don't want." But so then in phase three, participants really felt as though a lot of these concerns were addressed. So one of the functions that we talked about in both sets of focus groups was the idea of including reminders for HIV testing. And in the first round, this came up as a huge issue around privacy. Men didn't really want things popping up on their phones, who was going to see this. But so we listened to those concerns and incorporated that into the way that we built the beta version of the app. And then when men were able to actually see that, they felt much better in terms of privacy. So one participant who was in both groups said, "I think it's great, it's personal. We were worried about this last time, about privacy. I like the fact that there's no reminders there. Some people don't want to be reminded. The message is cool, this is exactly what we were worried about last time, and it totally solved the problem." So overall, men really said that they would be willing to use an app for HIV prevention and HIV testing, and the biggest concern about using the app was privacy. Some motivators for using the app was interactive engagement, having a lot of useful information all in one place, making sure that the app is functional, especially if there are any locator maps in there, finding ways to make the app fun, and then altruism. So some men talked about being more willing to use the app if it somehow gave back to their communities. So they talked about donations to AIDS service organizations and contributions to HIV research. Men also recognized a perceived impact of the app, and this was recognized on multiple levels. So for individuals, it could provide accountability. For partnerships, it could help start conversations about HIV prevention and HIV testing. For the community, it could help normalize the culture around HIV and MSM, and this was seen as especially useful for communities if it builds on interventions that already exist. And so overall, we really found that men talked about what they wanted and what they needed from an HIV prevention app. And we really took away from this that the key is to make it both useful and enjoyable. And one way of addressing that is to make it customizable and personal. Though our most challenging disagreement between things was really in terms of the tone of the app. So one way of addressing that is by making it customizable and having different options in there, but addressing the tone in that way would require building two completely separate apps with different language, which is really not feasible. So one way that we're thinking about addressing that is by having some features use friendlier language and some features use more professional language, depending on what that feature is. So then, like all research, there were some limitations to this study. Because this is a qualitative study, data are not transferable to a larger population. We also didn't have enough non-white participants to draw any conclusions based on race. Also, online focus groups are limited by the online environment, so all of the participants needed to have access to a computer with internet, and the facilitator didn't have any nonverbal cues in order to ask probing questions. But still, this was really the most feasible way of collecting data from rural MSM. So in conclusion, this process was really important because an app intervention is really only useful if people actually use it. So it's really important to go through this process of getting all the information that you need from a target population. Building an app requires a lot of resources, and it's really worth going through an iterative process of getting feedback in order to build a better app. So there are some exciting next steps coming out of this. We're currently developing the app that we described in the functional requirements document. It's called HealthMinder, and it focuses on HIV testing, in addition to other aspects of HIV prevention, like condom ordering, information about PrEP, information about NPEP, and linkage to care. In early 2015, we'll be launching a pilot study with MSM in Atlanta and Seattle to determine if MSM use the app, how they use the app, and what type of impact it can have on behaviors. Thank you. We have collaborated with some other people to get ideas of what they've done and to try and see what's already out there. And we also actually have some other people on our team creating different kinds of apps about things like sexual agreements. But we still need to do a little bit more of that, I think, as we move forward, because there are so many apps that exist, and it's hard to be able to advertise for all of those and know which ones are best. Mm-hmm. This was designed really specifically for HIV-negative MSM, but we are including some information about linkage to care in terms of where people can go if they do get an HIV-positive test result, if they report into the app after getting tested that that they tested positive, and then we have maps where they can get information about places that they can contact. Mm-hmm.